I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You're listening to Acton Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no sabotage.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Acton Millwall, the morning after one of the more momentous days in Mill history, the return of Neil Harris, the banishing of that poor run of form at one of the high-flying sides in the division, Southampton, 2-1 win for the Lions. There's only one man I can think of that would enjoy the relishing that result yesterday more than me, and that's Harry Warren. Big welcome to the show, Harry. How are you doing, mate?
I am very, very good this morning. I'm sure that you can hear the clicking of people turning this podcast off because there will be a certain amount of crowing from the creator of the Archer Woods and Long fan clubs.
But first, listeners, and Harry, before we go on, a moment of reflection for poor Russell Martin, who couldn't even bring himself to shake Martija Sarkic's hand at the end of the game yesterday. What a wanker, as I posted on Twitter. He walks past an outstretched hand at the end of a football match. I mean, Harry, you play a bit. I mean, I don't know. You shake hands at the end of a game. I mean, I don't know. Can't think of many circumstances where that's not appropriate, but certainly on the balance of yesterday's game, I feel that's real. It speaks volumes for the man, I think, don't you?
Yeah, you don't not shake someone's hand unless something really bad has happened. In
personal and vicious, like, you know. Yeah,
yeah, like yeah. Someone's like, properly broke, like properly gone out to a
an Ainsworth challenge,
or any kind of like abuse, obviously under the kind of general football swearing and so on and so forth. Yeah. Other than that, no, you shake. If you get beat, you just take it on the chin and move on. I mean, I play for a shit side in the Southern Amateur League. I didn't win in a calendar year, and I fucking shook everyone's hand. So it just shows how shit you are.
It's just sporting convention, sportsmanship, whatever, however you want to read that hackneyed term. But yeah, there we are. So I think that's the moment of reflection for poor Russell Martin, who was doing his nut through the game. I was just saying off air, listeners, I was going to go yesterday, but for various reasons that I won't dwell on here, I couldn't make it out the door yesterday morning. So I finished up watching it on the stream. So you get a different angle on TV, Harry, than actually being there. It looked like a magnificent Millwall turnout yesterday. Really came across well on telly, didn't it, the away support?
Yeah, it was special. I think that was the thing, and it was something that has been missing for so long, and I don't really know why. I don't know how you can bottle that into week in, week out. And I know we said it on the show when Neil Harris was announced to be coming back and the Twitter Spaces conversation or X Spaces.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's just, there's this weird thing whenever certain people or certain types of people are in charge of Millwall, that it's not a Gary Rowett kind of, you know, winning like that somehow feels bland and doesn't feel like, even though they could be the same kind of performances, you know, being totally, totally honest. But in a sort of Gary Rowett world, it's like he doesn't care. Do you understand? You can't see.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So therefore, with Millwall, you go, well, we don't really do well with that. We're like with the orphan in the corner. We need to be shown love. You need to get us to come with you. And And obviously that happens from, you know, from the start of the fucking game. He comes running down and fucking claps the crowd and points at the thing. He just, it's almost like Millwall Theatre. It's everything in a Millwall away day performance that you want.
It comes together. I mean, it's an interesting point. I was actually dwelling on how to start the conversation today, listeners. And I mean, I've actually looked up on the Collins Dictionary, Harry, the definition of the word charismatic, because the only difference between, in terms of resources, between yesterday and the week before versus Sheffield Wednesday, night and day performances, you know, two diametric opposites to each other, is the charisma of the manager. And, you know, I feel for Joe Edwards because the players are the same. I mean, you can talk about tactics and we'll probably come on to that in a moment. But since Neil's arrived back at the Den, which was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. Seems to have been a 100 miles per hour fast lane burn up, you know, since he's come back. But, you know, this is indefinable, Harry, because football management is not just a collection of individuals, collation of data and statistics and all the many scientific things that go into the modern game. It's underpinned fundamentally, especially at Millwall, the point you've just made, by charisma. And Neil Harris, I can't think of anyone else in the Millwall world right now in 2024 that has that level of Millwall charisma, because that's what we saw yesterday. That's what produced that performance. I take my hat off to him. I don't know how he got that performance out of those players that looked so poor just 7 days beforehand.
I mean, it can only be two training sessions, surely, can't it? Wednesday and Thursday.
They must
travel Friday. So you know what I mean? Like, it's not, if that, you're not going to travel, they're not going to train and travel Friday. So, or maybe they do, a tactics.
I don't know, but
it can't, it's two or three training sessions maximum. And yeah, you're right. It just is so, you know, it's like, do the simple things well. And 90% of that, if you do that sort of 90%, and then the 10% seems to be the charisma. Do you know what I mean? It's like it is that, and it's asking players to just do the things that they're good at rather than asking them to play to a system. And I do sometimes think that football is overcomplicated by tactics. And you know,
yeah, I agree with that. The modern game, yeah, I agree.
I do courses and stuff, obviously, as part of all my coaching stuff, and you spend 45 minutes listening to what your vision, like these people that take them. Like, and I do agree somewhat with, I think Jamie Redknapp was talking about his kids' football development in the week and saying, you know, you've got all these coaches that have never played. And I do get that to some extent, that I think when you're talking with elite players, it does surely help to have someone that's been there and seen and done it. And I think that's probably another thing that went probably against Joe Edwards a little bit, is the fact that he wasn't a player and that
he hadn't played professional. Well, no. I think he gave it up very early and, you know, it got into coaching as his alternative. But yeah, I mean, there were some of the greatest managers in the game have not played a particularly high level. Certainly, I'm just thinking in modern terms. I mean, you're going through, you know, name a few names, Mourinho. I don't know what Thomas Tuchel, what level he played at, but certainly if you go into Mourinho, to Arsene Wenger, to some level, even Sir Alex Ferguson didn't achieve the greatest of honours as a player. But what they were,
all of them that you talked about, probably not even Tuchel, I wouldn't count in that, but the rest are all strong characters. They've all got a charisma.
Charisma.
Yes.
And the definition of charisma, listeners, a charismatic person, this is Collins' online dictionary, because I thought it was quite appropriate to conversation I want to have with Harry today. A charismatic person attracts, influences, and inspires people by their personal qualities. So they're talking about charm, appeal, influence. And that's really what I've picked up in all of the return interviews, H, since Neil's come back. You can't help but watch them. You know, and you and me are both cynical people. You know, you know, but smell bullshit. You smell bullshit when you see it or smell it, whatever the term might be. But watching those interviews with Neil, you are feeling uplifted. I challenge anyone that's listening to this and not have felt that even a little bit, even if you don't want to admit it, you felt it.
That's a magic quality,
Harry.
The Millwall bipolar was out in full force between Wednesday and Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Oh, mate. Look, they got booed. The same players, the same pretty much take or pick a few, the same set of players got booed off and had the security tunnel pulled out of the Den last week to prevent, you know, untoward ribaldry and things, you know, unwanted things happening. So 7 days, I know it's a long time in the world, but that's an incredible achievement, because the performance yesterday, going on to the football, it's run for our team yesterday, was not a particularly inspiring 11. I mean,
before the game, Twitter before the game was something beautiful. It was like, fucking Jesus Christ, we're going down
what's changed?
From? Yeah. What the fuck's he picked this from? Where are we going? It's just,
I mean, there's something
about football, I suppose, doesn't it, really?
Well, about management, because you're talking about managing a group of men and producing the best from them. And, you know, you mentioned Joe Edwards there, Harry. I do feel for him, because there's no such thing as 110%. This is, it always makes me laugh when I hear this expression. He got 110%.
More than what's possible.
There's more than what. He got 100% out of every single player, in my opinion, yesterday. Some more effectively than others, perhaps. But that was 100% performance, which is all that you can ever give. So we've got Sarkic in goal. A lot of conversation about Sarkic, Harry. You know, we'll come back to him. A back line playing out of position, Danny Mack, Jake Cooper, and then Tanganga, I thought was my man in the match yesterday, Ryan Leonard. I put it 4-2-3-1. Others are saying it was 4-4-2, as they say on the...
It's never 4-4-2. It was never ever 4-4-2.
Well, Obafemi was a lonely one of the two up front.
Sion was playing as the second fucking striker. Sion spent most of his time in his own box, let alone fucking anywhere else.
It was every man to the pump. Anyway, Jules Savile, Billy Mitch in front of them, Ryan Longman, Zian Fleming, as we've mentioned, George Honeyman up front. Certainly for the first half was Obafemi, and then in the second half, Tom Bradshaw, both performing a very similar role of scurrying around, just trying to look busy, really, because that was the nature of the game. You read the same things probably I read online, Harry. There was a lot of moaning minis out there going on about, it's back to what I don't know. You know, it certainly wasn't an inspiring kind of prelim before the game, but my word, as soon as we kicked off, we got a Millwall performance there, Harry. And that's down to the charisma of the manager, in my opinion. I can't think what else has can produce that change.
Yeah, I mean, chalk and cheese, as you said. I think it was everything, wasn't it? It's just like the little things. I think as well that certain players, I think that's a brave call to play Danny Mack at left back.
Mm. Again, a lot of comment about that online, weren't there? You know,
And the change back to a back four, and Tanganga's been not great in a Millwall shirt.
Yeah,
and I also always think that Ryan Leonard is so so important to us. I just don't think people get how good Ryan Leonard is at the things that he can do. I don't really. A lot of people look at the things that he can't do. And I think that's the wrong way to always look at a Millwall player sometimes, because...
I'd say that's the wrong way to look at a Millwall side, Harry, because you can say that about pretty much every member of our squad, in truth. Perhaps, you know, the quality in our side now is the likes of Zian, but also Tanganga, I thought, was immense yesterday. Mm. But otherwise, this is a journeyman set of players who are... You're always looking to get more than the sum of the parts, really, aren't you, out of a Millwall side?
Yeah.
And Joe had high ambitions, and we'll come back to Joe in a bit, because, you know, obviously this is a stop, get us out of trouble appointment. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in trouble. But bloody hell, I mean, that was from the start, we were crunching into tackles. We were giving effort. We were not trying to do things. I didn't see any playing out from the back yesterday.
I didn't expect to, did you?
No, but it was so refreshing, Harry, to see Sarkic place the ball on the 6-yard line and kick it down the field, you know, rather than trying to
play it into someone who's already got two players pressing him.
Jake and put him under pressure.
Yeah. For him to hit the 45-yard diag out of play. Yeah, that one, yeah.
So that was wonderful. And it was, as you say, I mean, from the terraces through the side, on the whole performance was old fashioned Millwall, where you give everything you've got to give. The tackles were crunching in. I think Honeyman was booked early for a tackle. In fact, before that, we'd scored, didn't we? What a brave header by Tanganga from a fairly routine free kick. I know that Russell Martin was moaning about our goals weren't objects of beauty. I can't remember how he put it now. Rubbish, I think he said.
We conceded two rubbish goals.
Two rubbish goals.
Two rubbish goals apparently mean more than one beautiful goal.
Apparently. There's an artistic merit on goals. But that was a brave, brave bit of heading, because I think Tanganga knew that the goalkeeper was coming and he was going to take a clout, and he was down for a minute or two getting some treatment after that. But it trickled in, but you still got to put yourself in a brave situation.
Yeah,
that was the start of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, saying that normally we don't really do, but I thought the referee yesterday was pretty good, actually. He was the referee that we had on New Year's Day against QPR. Oh, yeah, and we won that. Okay. We won that as well. And I think he's not conned by, I noticed this, he's not conned by you going down too easily. Like, there was a lot of Southampton asking for penalties and asking. Yeah. And he's not conned by that. He allows contact. He allows some contact, but not what he deems as open. And I think, but he's quite consistent. I can disagree. And I think he's one of the more consistent refs that we've had. And I don't think there's any, I think that helps. I think on another day, we could have had someone every time we put, you know, any kind of pressure on a Southampton shoulder or had a sort of pull back at someone, you give away a cheap free kick. The cheap free kicks kill us. So,
yeah,
you know, with their kind of delivery. So I thought that was important. But yeah, the Tanganga header, I mean, normally when a keeper comes that far out, you've got to get everything. Their keeper didn't get anything apart from Tanganga, to be fair. And
took his head.
Clean off, near enough. Yeah, yeah.
I thought he looked quite initially. I thought he was quite badly injured. But anyway, he got up, ran away. Strong, strong player, strong boy. Got booked on 12. So, you know, we were carrying a honeymoon booking. We were carrying a Tanganga booking from the 12th minute onwards.
I think Leonard got booked first half.
Leonard was booked. So to finish the game with 11 men is a tribute to the discipline of the side, because not only did we keep our shape, Harry, we didn't make any challenges that could draw that second yellow. And that's not a bad thing to be able to say, is it?
No, it's not. I think it was, I think at one point, you know, we scored and, you know, the obvious sort of Southampton quick trying to get back into the game, and we're the worst team in the league from giving away points from winning positions before the game starts, and
have been,
and you think to yourself, "Oh, here comes the onslaught. We've scored well too early here." Typical Millwall thing to say that as well. And to be fair, you know, they did score and whatnot, but what's been different than every other time recently where we've conceded, we have sort of a 10-15 minute Coco the Clown number. After we concede the equaliser or the...
We go to pieces.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a meltdown, you know.
It's like, oh my God, we're not going to score again. We've scored our one goal. We're fucked now. And there was none of that yesterday. There was just, okay, they've scored. Okay, we expected this. We don't need to... I think there was sort of like a free hit element. It felt like a cup tie at times. They were coming at us and it felt like we were a little... I know we shouldn't feel like this because we've been in a championship for, what, 4 or 5 years.
We felt like the Crane Valley paper mills going and leading, weren't they? You know, I mean, you know, there was a chance they had a clearance head. I think Tanganga cleared it off the line shortly after the goal. But apart from that, all I've got noted down here is terrific defending, fantastic block. You know, Tanganga's name, Lauren Leonard's name, proper Millwall performance up until 33rd minute when... In truth, it was a fairly soft goal. It's probably a moment's lapse of concentration by Jake, who looked like he was, you know, left the field last week looking like he'd had a nervous breakdown. But I wouldn't say he's at his best yesterday, but he was not as bad as last week. And that's probably about the only moment, really, in the game where I'd say Jake could have done a bit better. Now, a lot of people pinning it on Sarkic. I don't think there was much he could have done with a close-range header crossing from the left.
I think...
Forward beat Jake for me.
I think the problem with Sarkic is that he's a very erratic goalkeeper. I think that's the problem. When you have someone, and I'll get to this because I feel like it's an important caveat to come.
And Harry is a member of the George Long fan club.
I am a member of the George Long fan club.
Well, in fact, chairman.
The chairman, executive and rights holder.
And Archer and
Woods. And Archer and Woods and Sunnicliffe. But I think with Sarkic... There was a couple of times yesterday, like at Tanganga header that you've just talked about, that in the 5 seconds before that, Sarkic goes from the front post, runs across his goal to the back post, tries a sort of half jump, and then Tanganga's behind him on his own line and heads it away. Now,
yeah.
To me, he's better being, be a fucking goalkeeper. If you can't get there, don't take a step out. Just be on your line and try and make a reaction, save if the header comes down. But he seems this, he's like, in, to use a cricket like parlance, anything in the corridor of uncertainty for Sarkic, anywhere near that 6-yard box of a cross or a delivery, he goes, fuck, I've got to get there. You don't need to get there, mate. You've got 6 foot fucking seven Jake, and you've got Tanganga.
Tanganga is 6 foot
plus.
Let
them fucking deal with that, and you just be a goalkeeper. So that one for Jake there, I feel like Sarkic is waiting for the, he's doing the right thing, he's on his line, and maybe Jake thinks that he's, it's going over him and he can come for it. And it's a little bit of a defensive mix-up. So I'll take your point. At the time, watching it first time through, I thought, fuck me, Sarkic, you've got to come for that. And I thought, no, he can't come for that because them two are there and they should deal with that. So that's fine. But you then get the opposite of it with the free header late on to make it 2-2, where he stays on his line and doesn't come for one of those crosses and makes a fantastic save.
A game-saving save at the end.
So just
there's the contrast, Harry.
Well, just do the things you're good at. I'm not asking you to cut. You're small for a keeper. Do the small keeper thing of staying on your line and shot stop. That's all we want you to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and so cleared off the line. We go on to win the penalty towards the end of the first half, which I don't know, a touch of fortune, I suppose, because sometimes you see them given. I wasn't aware that was the same referee, but certainly we drew a. We drew a good decision there because it was a shot from Obafemi, which struck the arm of the Southampton defender. We got awarded a penalty, which, there's a lot of bad luck.
I'm going to go back to the thing that people used to think these even themselves out over the season because we had we had one earlier on in the season against us when I think it might have been quite early in Joe Edwards' reign. I think we were winning at home on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. And we got a last minute. Was it Birmingham? Did somebody get like a last minute equaliser that they didn't deserve off a penalty? Trying to say when we haven't lost is the easier thing to remember than when we have. I feel like it was either a draw or a loss we ended up with off the back of something like that. So it was nice to finally get one. But it did make me laugh the sort of panto over Femi wanting the penalty, and I never realised he'd played for Southampton previously till I sort of saw that this morning.
No, I didn't know that. But Zion took it, didn't he?
Yeah, well, Zion was having absolutely fucking none of it in his most sort of Dutch, don't give a fuck way of I'm picking the ball up and I'm going to score. But fuck me. I mean, it's a brilliant penalty. It's unsavable to hit the inside of the post. But I thought as soon as it made that noise and there's that horrible... instant that little thing you can't even such a small minute amount of time that passes through your mind you go it's in. It was like just that little was enough to make the pit of my stomach drop. But
there's a fine line between a coolly taken penalty and an awful miss, isn't there? So anyway, it was just on the right line of being a coolly taken penalty. You sent the goalkeeper the wrong way, bottom left, in off the post, just so anyways, enough. 2-1 at half time, and I thought we'd really done brilliant. I think it was 80-20 possession, 80%, 20%. I haven't seen the full time figures listed.
Possession means fuck all.
Well, there's an object lesson in it, Harry. You know, I mean, that was one of the graphics they showed in the half time break. I mean, 79 point something versus 20, 20 point something. Anyway, 80-20 is called it.
Love it.
So, substitution, Bradshaw coming in for Obafemi. Obafemi had actually pulled up a little bit in the first half and was running awkwardly more and more as it went on. So in came Tom Bradshaw. And second half felt a little bit like the Alamo, Harry, really. I mean, they weren't overtly dangerous. They had a few smart shots early, but apart from that, loads and loads of possession without really carving out many chances. Save for on the 68th minute, a save for Sarkic. So I've written with Dodge to put it, I can't think of that chance.
That's the free header from just on the edge of the 6-yard box.
Oh, was it that one? That was 86 minute. That was, I've got a huge chance. So that was another one.
I can't remember anyway. That chance. The only chance I can really remember is that Sarkic one late on. I felt we had a couple of chances where we broke out and we got clear. Billy Mitch sort of done a couple of marauding sort of runs, and sort of Tom Bradshaw had one where he just passed it to no one You're supposed to be the guy that, in this situation, Tom, you're supposed to be the guy that we pass to. You're supposed to get beyond
the end point.
Yeah. But no, and then Zion had that shot where it sort of fell to him and the keeper was off his line and he had a go. But
yeah,
I feel like we were 2-1 in front, and I think it was more than we could ever believe that we were going to get. I think we'd have been, you know, before the game, if we're all being honest, we'd have taken your hand off for a point. We expected a lot of
people were talking about cricket scores, you know, and saying it's a free hit game because we're going to get beat. Well, that never worked out, thankfully. But I don't think we have free hits. The first job, Neil's job, is really surviving the championship. And you've got to approach each game from a point of view of getting 3 points, really. But anyway, that was I suppose it's one of those lessons you can't trust popular opinion listeners. You have to approach it. You know, people say stuff online that isn't really awfully solid.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Achtung, Mehlball.
If you're looking for a pre-match bite to eat, why not back one of our own and pop into Harvey's Den Cafe? It's located in the Lions Centre, right by the Barrow Kitchener West Stand turnstiles. It's open on a match day. It does all-day breakfast, grab-and-go food. It's got Jamaican patties and chips, soup and bread rolls. It's open weekdays from 10:30 a.m. and on a Saturday match day, 11:30 a.m. till 3 p.m. Harvey's Den Cafe. Check it out. I mean, my high points to the half really weren't... I mean, you're right about the lack of pace going forwards. I think Billy broke forwards at one point, but, you know, that's probably the same thing. But we just lacked the cutting edge. But it's more about blocking, terrific defending, which was magnificent. And then a weak shot from Fleming and 79. Apart from that, not much to report attacking-wise. There was a game-changing moment, and we've said it already, which was a save by Sarkic, which was that close-range header. Again, free header, unfortunately. So I think there's work to be done in defensive terms, Harry, at the Calmont Road, because we've been caught too many times by poor defending. And yesterday we got away with a couple of moments, you know, and I would imagine that's going to be something Neil and David Livermore are going to be wanting to try and deal with, some communication between the central defenders and goalkeeper.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also, I mean, let's be honest, we've changed system again.
Yeah, you know, we've played three again. Yeah.
Manager again, three systems in one season. Three formations, three tactical directions. And I think sometimes, obviously, there's going to be little bits of cracks where you're against a well-drilled side, but realistically, in 90 minutes, they only really give up two clear-cut chances.
A goal and one other chance, really. Maybe one half chance, but, you know.
It surely is better than what we've been seeing. And also, Danny Mack playing at left-back, which isn't his natural position. Obviously, I think Joe Joe Byron will come. He's still suspended, or was that his last game? Or maybe that was his last game, was it? Or has he got one more? Maybe he'll be.
I think that was his last game yesterday. I think he should be available. I mean, Murray was on the bench. I mean, he is a left back, isn't he, by trade? He's on the bench.
Paul Murray's like, how can I describe this? Paul Murray's a bit at the moment, a bit like, you know, when they're doing the Grand National, and you know you've got the outsider that's led like for a long time, and then it starts gradually on like the third or second time around the circuit starts dropping back. Like, I love Murray to bits, and he's like, but it's like it's taking him away to save himself. I think he's just been every time he plays, he gets targeted, doesn't he? Bless him. So yeah, you know, there's not really much you can do when you are the weak link being targeted. The thing is with Murray as well is, every time that he looks dead and buried, he reinvents himself into something else.
He's like Madonna. He makes a comeback.
He's like a left-back Alan Dunn. He'll be here, but like, I'll die, and he'll still be at the club somehow or something. You know.
I love Murray to death. Danny Mac, I thought, did a magnificent job and some wonderful experience for George Saville to take the ball into the corner.
When he
drew the free kick, and I let out a shout here. I don't know what my wife and the cats thought of it, but I thought I was losing the plot up there. I said, "Well, she said, have we scored?" I said, "No, we've won a free kick in the corner."
This is what he's come to now.
But I said, it was magnificent to see it, the experience, and it reminded me of Dennis Wise in his pomp back in the day.
Someone raised a really good point about what player was Neil going to teach how to win the cheap free kick. And it was clearly Zion. Zion has obviously been at the school of the dark arts all week, because the way that he went down to win that free kick was the most theatrical, or I felt a little bit of contact. I've got enough. I've hooked my leg around him and I'll go down. And the sort of shit-assery way that he done it. It's like, yeah, We could do with turning Zion into a bit of a creatively dick dastardly shithouse would be quite funny.
Well, I was interested at the end of the game. We'll come on to this, a bit of post-match comment in a moment, but there's obviously the Russell Martin, who it looked like he was going to burst a blood vessel, and he's screaming all through the game.
He was like on his haunches, like pleading with any deity.
Shouting anyone. The fourth official, he was, you know, the man was just raging for 90 minutes, basically. And I think it was probably because we weren't playing to the script of admiring Southampton's beautiful football. And
pass and go past you, yeah.
Yeah, and some of the tackling was full on. I mean, I, as Millwall fans, you love to see it. But anyway, it didn't seem to fit in with his world view. He was doing his nut. But no, just going back to Zian, Harry, at the end of the game, Neil, you know, obviously he's only been back in the club, you know what I mean, since Wednesday. So he's only known Zian, because Zian signed much more recently than the Neil Harris tenure. So he's only known him for a day or two. But at the end of the game, Neil came over and had his arms around, was talking to him quite intently at the end of the game. And I dare say they're going to build a good working relationship for the very reason that you've just said, because there's such an amount of potential in Zian Fleming that I think is untapped in terms of game nous. And there's, you know, if you want that in a player, it's Neil Harris. So that was really interesting at the end of the game to see them speaking so closely.
It was weird at the end of the
players
game.
Players have only known for a few minutes, really. You know?
Yeah, it was nice to see at the end of the game, actually. There was quite a lot of some of it's come out online, but the stream I was watching obviously rolled through you know, they looked absolute. The players looked absolutely fucking beside themselves with joy. It looked like a weight had been lifted from them, and they almost couldn't believe they were getting a standing ovation from a performance
where they were last weekend. Yeah, pulling the security tunnel out. I can only think it would feel like a weight. I mean, it felt like a weight off my shoulders watching it. So to be a player in that situation must have been horrible last week, and like you're top of the world this week, through probably fairly simple, straightforward instructions. So I think that was the key. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the Joe Edwards experiment, which I admired, and I think there's a sense of what if with Joe Edwards, but certainly to go back to basics in the situation that we're in was the right call, and for that kind of result yesterday, Neil Harris was the man. I can't think of anyone else who could have produced it in 7 days.
No, I think that's important to remember. I think also the idea of this Joe Edwards ball, or Joe ball as you coined it, you know, it's a lovely idea. But we, you know, the world is full of idealists. Idealists and doers. And unfortunately, at Millwall, you've got to be a bit of a doer. You can't be an idealist. The idealists get you relegated. Idealists end up with Steve Lomas in charge. Idealists end up with Holloway telling you that you don't know about football. And, you know, something did have to change. And what it's very odd, and I'm gonna say this, as someone that's, as you get older, because I feel like I've seen quite, in my Millwall tenure, we've been very extremist. We've probably had our best days ever in my lifetime.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Like, so I'm very lucky, right?
Yeah.
So I have to try and remember this, because I compare it to my dad, who has had the thing where we've seen us in the top flight, and I don't think I ever will. But other than that, he's lived the same as me. But we're not idealists. Like, Millwall can't be idealists. Millwall, stop it. I feel like there's this real drive, and I plead to everyone, stop trying to change us to be like everyone else. I know we have to move with the times. I get that. There's nuance in the statement of make Millwall be Millwall. You can be Millwall and play nice football. There is a bit, but there's...
I agree with that. Yeah,
You can't be Millwall and try and turn us into Bermondsey Cuddle Club with no arsehole. And the last two managers for me have tried to, you know, have tried to really nullify the Millwall, have not got that kind of passion and thing that you need to. You can be a great tactical mind, but if you just tell someone to hit someone every now and then, you'll get more from us as a crowd and bring us into it. You know, sometimes someone needs to pick up a fucking yellow card when they've had the ball for 10 minutes, knocking it about at the den. Someone needs to do that. And I think that's where we're different. That's where we won't accept. We'll go quiet, and then it takes us a long time to get back. You know, we'll go and have a pint downstairs because it takes 45 minutes to get served. So we might as well fuck off now because they've had the ball for 15 minutes. It's like that. And I'm not trying to denigrate what Gary Rowett or Joe Edwards tried to do. I get it. But the idea, this outpouring of emotion yesterday on Twitter, and it's not necessarily the greatest barometer of what people actually think.
No, it encourages snapshots. Extreme comment. And, absolutely, you know, whatever direction.
But this idea of it's always, you know, Wednesday, it's fucking backward step, and Saturday night, it's, oh my god, we've got our Millwall back. And I feel that both can sort of be true. You know, we've gone back to what, you know, how fun is it when you've got someone that gives a fuck? How fun is it when they look like they give a fuck? Do you know what I mean? They look like they care as much as you do, and then you buy in, and then you're invested, and then you're more likely to travel on a Tuesday night to fucking the arse end of nowhere to watch us have like 20% possession and win 1-0 when you don't care because you're invested in the story. Whereas to pass, lose the ball, concede. That's not Millwall to me. And I, you know, maybe I am a football philistine. I like 4-4-2, and I like Neil Warnock, and I like big men and little men up front. And I just, it's what you like, and it suits what I like. I know it's not for everyone, and I know other people like Rowett Ball or Joe Ball or whatever. But at the end of the day, what I can say is I like winning football matches. We've won a football match. You know what I mean? And we need to win football matches because we're fucking staring Charlton away. Not possibly if they stay up.
Cheltenham are in league. Well, I think they're fighting league to stay in League One. But that's the kind of fixture you're talking about, or whoever comes up from League Two, Crewe again, I suppose, or the Stockport.
Generic Northern shit league. That's basically what you know. Any club that isn't from Manchester or Leeds, that's what we're looking at. And that's the real sort of, we're sleepwalking in sort of this, and I do think it's been difficult. I do think the last, you know, as I said on Wednesday, I do think the last 9 months for the club, everyone connected with the club, whether you're a supporter or whatever, has been just wave after wave of crushing disappointment, you know, and sadness, you know, to lose John. Everyone who knew him or everyone who had anything to do with him says the same kind of thing. And that must rub off on players and must rub off on coaches and the tea lady and everything. Then, you know, Gary runs out of steam or whatever, and the disappointment of Blackburn, and it's just all. And then we appoint a new young coach and it doesn't work out. And it was just, yesterday was like, it was like a release. It was like, you know, the turning point in grief, perhaps. I mean, you have a grief cycle.
I agree. I mean, 2,700 Millwall went down there. I mean, the support really came over well on stream, listeners. And there was a monk chant, as I call it, at one point. It just went on and on and on. It reminded me of the cup final in 2004. That kind of level of fanatic support and
defiance, you know, almost.
Well, it's one of the points I wanted to make to you. I made the same point in our group chat where I said we did well under Gary Rowett. You can't. The league table is the ultimate job CV, isn't it? You know, where do you finish?
Yeah.
And by Millwall standards, to finish consistently, maybe one season we didn't, but for the most part, we were fringes of the playoff without ever quite getting into it. But nevertheless, to finish at that level by Millwall's historic standards is a massive achievement. But at no point in that...
Kept getting friend zoned by the end.
Well, but then what you didn't have were the huge uplifting moments. And as example, Exhibit A, I'm going to take you to yesterday, listeners, because that was a huge uplifting Millwall moment. You will remember yesterday for years to come in a way that you probably won't remember many Gary Rowett wins. You know, I mean, they were just different. And I don't really come to damn Gary Rowett, but it was just that yesterday probably captured for me what it feels like to be a Millwall fan, because these are massive, big, emotion-driven roller coasters, Harry.
Yeah, and I think...
That's what feels such a relief to have it back.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, my knockers would say that you're a Gary Rowett, you know,
a groupie,
like a get rid of Gary Rowett kind of thing and all that. And it's
Harris groupie. I meant,
oh yeah. Harris groupie, right? No, it didn't have to be a Harris groupie or anyone. It, you know, realistically, if I'm being totally honest, when we appointed Joe Edwards, if we'd got fucking Neil Warnock, I wouldn't have minded. I know everyone was saying I don't, you know, because that would have been, to me, that would have been the next stage in the what we've done. We've come so perilously close. We'll go for Warnock because Warnock has got teams over the line and has played with system and has been at working class clubs that's kind of like ourselves and has done it. And I could have, and I generally believe that that would have been a sensible step, maybe not on a long-term contract. I might have said, well, we'll give you to the end of the season. We'll see how this goes and we'll go from there. Because it could have been, all managerial appointments are risks, right? But then you get the sort of new Millwall fan who, unfortunately, down with the kids in the Groupon stand, with their vapes and their rollerblades and their animes, who want us to sort of play this progressive style of football and don't know how good you've got it. You haven't fucking had to watch us struggle to beat Staines Town and other other
at the back of the Staines Leisure Centre.
Yeah, you haven't, you know, and that's me. You know, I say it with tongue very much in cheek, but as you said, we're better in moments, right? The club's built on moments, really, isn't it? You know, Millwall's scoring.
Yeah.
It's very rare that we have these sort of prolonged spells of success in the terms of, you know, in league position and league form. So you've got to hand it off to Gary Rowett that way. But sometimes we are better. We are a FA Cup type of side. We rise to occasions.
I mean, if you said to me the recent high points, leave aside yesterday, you're talking about one-offs, you know, the win at Leeds, the 4-3 win I'm talking about,
yes.
The game against Everton, the cup run that we had under Neil, and the Wembley final.
Yeah, that kind beating the champions of England at home, all that kind of...
Yeah, moments like that, you know. That is what Mills are all about. I've got a few quotes, and I'll run a few of them past you, Harry. I mean, this is a post-match... in press conference with Neil by Richard Corley, South London Press, Neil saying you've got to find a way. Mill teams have to find a way. I've always had to find a way in teams I've played in. And sometimes you rely on your shape, organisation, your spirit and your togetherness. And that had everything yesterday. I mean, shape, we were, like we said at the start of the conversation, we were carrying early yellow cards. It would have been easy to lose one, two men with a wrong challenge when you're up against it. Organisation was, well, evident from yesterday, but more than that, it's spirit and togetherness plus the unity with the crowd, because I think the Millwall crowd, when they see that, Harry, will roar you on, as anyone that would have listened to yesterday's stream would have heard loud and clear.
Absolutely. I think you know, the togetherness. But I think when he says togetherness, I don't think he just means his team and his squad. I think he means us as well. You know,
on the terraces.
You know, it is a football cliche. We're going to end up on Brian's Guns Gun, that brilliant Twitter page. But we're going to say, you know, the fans are a 12th man and they're a big club and he knows the club.
he knows the club.
They know the fans. The fans know him. He knows the club. Exactly. So the players know him. You could say all the cliches, but it's sometimes the cliches are true, unfortunately. And I think that's what that comes down to. I think he made it very clear in his action before the game and also after the game that it wasn't about him. But let's be honest, you know, sometimes
it was an integral part of the event that was yesterday. I mean, on that point, this is a bit more of a, I don't know if it's sour, but this is from CMFC 1885. He says it just shows that all the crap about Joe Edwards was bollocks. The team, the squad weren't playing for him. I do, as much as I loved yesterday, and it's great to see Neil back and everything that we've described in this show, Harry, I do have a lurking nag in my head that the same squad that gave 100% yesterday for Neil and gave everything didn't do that for Joe Edwards. Do you agree? Is that being churlish?
I think they did in the start. I don't think they started.
There's some good moments early on when there was a good run, and then so some great football being played actually at times.
I think as we're right, there are. You ever worked with, the way I try and put it is, if you ever worked with someone that is fantastic at what they do, and then they get promoted into a role where they have to manage people rather than doing what they used to do, and they have to delegate, and they can't do it. And they end up taking that. And because you're not as good as them at their job, they then find fault in everything that you do. And I wonder if Joe Edwards had a bit of that about him. I wonder if that's really what was going on behind the scenes, is that Joe Edwards is a very capable football coach and a very well-respected football coach, but not a very good manager.
I think you are right, because we've seen in the interview, like we said at the start of the show, Harry, I mean, I think that probably goes to the heart of it, what you've just said there, because just to watch the TV interviews with Neil, you are lifted by hearing him say, "Oh, I mean, to some extent, you know, it's like listening to sweet words from your girlfriend, isn't it? You know, you're lifted. You know, you feel like you want to go out and do more for him, for the club, everything.
Inspiration.
That's a difficult. It's easy to say, hard to produce that.
Yeah, and it's also at Millwall, it's almost hard to do it without having the piss taken out of you.
Because you can
make it too much. You can do like a Churchillian type of speech, and get the piss taken out.
It's a badge kissing, you know.
And pumping chest and all that bollocks. And we're quite cynical as a fan base with that shit.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Have you really?
Over the years.
But I think you're right. I think that kind of it's now on the edge. And the way also Joe Edwards didn't help himself in interviews, I don't think. I think that whatever media PR training that he'd had was particularly... Millwall fans don't want... Within reason, Millwall fans don't want logic. Millwall fans almost want you to come out, if we get beat, go, it's not good enough and we need to work harder. Those are two things that you say and most people will go, oh yeah, that's all right then. Yeah, that's all you need to say. Really overcomplicating... You know, I don't know how many times you can change that to say the same thing without saying different words. But that's kind of what you need to do when we get beat, when we win. Yeah, we worked hard. We were good. Blah, blah, blah. Fine. Yeah. So realistically, there's going to be a 30-second soundbite that's going to end up on Twitter that kind of dictates how you're viewed, unfortunately, as a football manager. And you probably don't have that when you're a coach of an under-18s team.
No, you don't. You don't get the same level of scrutiny. And I think maybe that's what washed him away a little bit. I really liked what we briefly saw with Joe Edwards, because some of the football, when it was played, albeit briefly, and albeit it finished up where it finished up, was really ambitious. And I kind of like that.
So yeah.
I think that's to be put on the back plate at the moment. Anyway, talk about that another day, Harry.
For me, Joe Edwards was like, we open the front door playing lovely football. Like, we come out the house all happy, but we'd forgotten to lock the back door all the time.
Yeah, and we left the window open.
Yeah, the burglars kept coming in through the back, and then we were fucked. They go, oh, I don't know what to do now. We ain't got the key.
With our car keys on the kitchen table.
Yeah. That's what it felt like all the time. I don't know. I can't really think of a better analogy than that, really. Like, we used to get burgled quite a lot under Joe Edwards. We'd be in charge of the position, and then all of a sudden we'd find ourselves 1-0 down.
In the end, we were just sitting in the front room with nothing left.
Yeah, I can't work out.
The chairs were gone.
And sort of standing around at the end of games going, how did this happen? What have we done wrong? We've stopped locking the back door, maybe, Joe. That might be an idea.
No substitute for experience. I mean, posting Robert Edge, Billy Mitchell doesn't get enough credit from today, brought in to do a job. 100% now. I do agree. Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned our men of the match. Tanganga for me, Leonard, Saville, and Billy Mitch, because I think he gets a bit of stick, as does Danny Mack, Harry, for being Millwall fans.
I saw something online somewhere. Went, oh, fucking Billy Mitch coming back in. Harris playing his fucking mates, like taking the piss out of other people saying that. Yeah. They went, Billy Mitchell had played before today 12 minutes of football under Neil Harris. Yeah, he's definitely his mate. And I was like,
You ruined your facts.
How dare you ruin this stat? But no, I thought we just looked a little bit more structured. Do you know what I mean? Like, we just did defensively so. And obviously, I suppose, when you need points and you're fighting for your life, you need a defensive structure. And that's what we got yesterday, I suppose. And we'll see how it goes going forward. But for me, you know, as we've just kind of taken the piss out of, for all the lovely football under Joe Edwards, we just, and to be fair, this season under Gary Rowett, you know, the turning point for Gary Rowett was, okay, Gary Rowett's football's never been pretty, but it was always, we weren't getting thumped 4 and 5.
It was effective. It was ugly, but effective.
Yeah, and as soon as it stops being effective, suddenly it's just ugly. Yeah. The fans turn. And I think that's what happened, obviously, at Norwich and everything went on from there. And I feel like Joe Edwards went completely the opposite way and went, I don't really care about defending. If they score 4, we'll score 5. The problem is we haven't scored 5 between our front line all season, I don't think. So
I'm settling for scoring 2 yesterday at the moment. But you're right. I've picked a few more out here. Billy 1885 says that's got to be one of the best Millwall moments of his life. Harris answered the call and winning a must-win game against high-flying Southampton. That's what memories are made of. Scott wants to invite all Millwall fans to Harry's bar. Well, he's going to get married to Ryan Leonard, he says. I don't know if Ryan Leonard's aware of that, but he's named the date. So
What date is it? What date are we?
8th of June. Apparently it's in Harry's bar. He's getting married to Ryan Leonard. I want to wish the couple, Scott and Ryan. It'll be like in, you know, kind of gold font over the door.
Is Lurch doing the catering?
Lurch's on the catering. Bonnie from Steve Evans, maybe get last one, maybe. He says we should be privileged to be one of those clubs that has a way, in inverted commas, the Millwall way. Everyone's aware of it, but when we're at our best, most struggle to stop it. It's not going to be pretty, but it's effective, and people feel bad for Edwards for getting sacked for trying to change it. It's in reply to another post, he says that performance was the Millwall way and should never be changed. I'm a bit wary of ways, because that always reminds me of the West Ham way, Harry, and I mistrust that.
But the West Ham way ended up winning the European trophy, and they're still not fucking happy. They want Moyes out. You know, so you know, there is maybe we should be wary of ways, you're right, but unless it's the app that sort of drives you around the traffic. But we're fucking, I don't know, like this idea of a Millwall way, is it a Millwall way? I suppose the Millwall way could be anything, as long as it shows
anything, as long as it's 100%.
Yeah, as long as it's like commitment, arsehole, and a bit of streetwiseness. Everything else is a bonus, really. Play like you give a fuck. That's all we ever ask for, really. Anything football tactic wise, you could play any formation you like, just fucking try, really, is all you ever ask for. And if the opposition have had the ball for 15 minutes at the Den, somebody kick someone, that's it. It's not really harder. There's no more tactical nous to it, really. I mean, it's been proven that I might not be the greatest football manager mind in the world previously, but I sort of, you know, to get us, and I think that's also a point of it. There is a, I say us, We are a batshit crazy 13 to 16,000 average gate of fans that give a fuck, right? And the problem is that we've all got very, very varied views on how we believe that football should be played. But what we all can agree on is that this Millwall way, to coin that phrase, is yesterday, is the underdog. And how nice was it to just accept that we were the underdog yesterday and you didn't expect it?
None of this talking up bollocks
that we're some kind of Bermondsey Barcelona. This just idea that we're Bermondsey Boy Club and we're fucking like, we've got no money and we're fucked. And, you know,
but it worked. I mean, we'll play out shortly, listeners. I've lifted the, they had a marching brass band going around the pitch and there's a wonderful, I've lifted it. I don't know who did the video, but there's the video of the Millwall end singing the Tits Fanny and Millwall to it, which I thought was just wonderful. So I'm going to play out with that in a moment. But before I do play out, Harry, I just got to say that there's loads of silly videos of Southampton fans with West Ham shirts on doing the crossed hammer sign to us. I mean, it is very bizarre modern behaviour. They think that's going to enrage the away support. And do what? I don't know. I don't get that. Why are you wearing an opponent's shirt?
£40 on a West Ham shirt to wind us up. So you're £40 down. Presumably you would have had a bet on Southampton winning yesterday.
Did you wear it again? Or is it like a once a year for whenever you play Millwall?
Did they wear it to the away game and come back? Did they stop? I don't know. Did they go to that toilet bowl outside of Stratford? Did they go there to get it? I don't know. There's more questions than answers here. Maybe we need an expose on odd fans.
Odd behaviour, odd bod. I've got a screenshot from a video. There's this Wally with his West Ham shirt on doing the crossed... The hammer thing, you know, why you would do it.
Hard drive checking behaviour, I suppose, would I describe it as.
Harry, we're going to play out with When the Saints Come, a version of When the Saints Come In. Big thank you for joining me this Sunday morning, mate. Have a good day. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, and you, mate. Come on, you Lions.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.